Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about the human body and how busted she is. We'll be going through some evolutionary traits that could be much improved, from the ankles to the back and all sorts of problems that us humans have. So let's complain.
I know, it's true. We really love to think as humans that we are just the most brilliant, highly evolved species, but there's a lot wrong. It's crazy.
I know that not to be true from the top to the bottom. Let me tell you, we will get there because so I have a lot.
Yeah. Oh my God.
A lot. This episode's for me.
Mitch's physical ailments have got a lot. So funny. Yeah. We sometimes are like, how do we start the podcast without Mitch saying something about the physical ailment? We have to actively be like, okay,
like,
no, we're
how
not.
Do I make sure people don't know I have chronic disease? I guess I might. I always have something wrong, and it's like clearly I'm psychosomatic.
So then we're like, let's just make a full podcast about how bad the body is. But what I was thinking recently was just like, obviously there's so many issues with TikTok, but like, what would this have been without it? Like, I feel like it takes so much of my time. It gives me so much of my cheap thrills. And yesterday I saw a TikTok of a guy going, and I'm not here worried about my homework. And then it just cuts to that really famous scientific zooming out of, like, it's like,
oh, like Earth, from Earth,
then the solar system, then the sun, and it like zooms
right
out, and it
and
just
then another sun,
yeah,
and then
it's like, yeah, yeah, and it's just like, oh my God. And it goes perfectly to, oh my God, somebody that we guessed now.
That's some kind of a weird song choice,
but. Okay, honestly, whenever I heard that song, I was like, this song is so embarrassing. I don't know why everyone's obsessed with this, like, Irishman or whatever. And then
it,
two,
like, launched the career of that band. What's it called? Like, the Canadian band who did a cover on YouTube.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you were covering it. You were getting famous. Walk Off the Earth.
Walk Off the Earth. Like, that say, made them famous.
I was going to say Death from Above, but it's like they have these Canadian bands. Walk Off This Earth. It's like, wow, are they flat earthers? But anyways, that song, I downloaded it and put it on my winter 2021 playlist.
No.
Because I swear to God, like, this TikTok was so good, and I was like zooming out, and then like that gifts it, like, it like,
you're like
drops right when it gets into like the quantum state, and I was just like, oh my God, I love this song for the first time. Like, as I never liked it, I thought it was cringe, and now I like it. Wow. I just got into somebody that you used to know.
Wow, that is very unique, Craig. I'm curious, what that kind of video of seeing the world like that, and it was, I watched your like reaction to it, because it is like the kids like, I'm literally sitting here doing homework meanwhile, and then it zooms out. What does that make you feel?
Okay, a comment, okay, wow, back to TikTok, a comment on TikTok that was what, the second or first? Like, does that mean it's liked the most?
Sometimes. I don't really, they're not always ordered, but it usually the top
one. I mean, we're talking about algorithms this whole household a lot, but we haven't talked about the comment one. But the comment high up was like, this information is great when, and then there was an emoji that was like stressed, but bad when happy. And it was like, yes, exactly. Right. That is what
when
I think.
When things
about
are
that.
Going bad, you're like, it is nice to zoom out and be like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yes,
but when
exactly.
you're like feeling great about yourself and it's like, you don't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like it's like, it's sort of to me what it is a buffer to keep my life away from extremes. It's just like,
It makes me feel sick. although also amazing. And it reminded me of something now that you're talking about this. So I love listening to Alan Watts, and I don't know if this is the most kind of like basic bro thing that
Alan Watts is.
So if you don't know, Alan Watts is like a philosopher, a white man philosopher from maybe around like the 60s, 70s that became popular as he had explored sort of Eastern ideologies and was curious about how those were relevant to like culture in America. So he learned about like Buddhism and Hinduism and would talk from a philosophical standpoint about their belief systems about the universe and stuff. So I find it really inspiring just because it's kind of like using logic to break down maybe what the way the world actually is, even outside of the construct of like science and understanding it physically.
That's cool.
And I think he's great, but I know like there are a lot of those kind of like health or like mental, like hack focused people who love him.
Really? Oh yeah. My God, I love that they're getting dragged. Like, have you seen the like sort of new jokes of people calling them like, who was it? Caitlyn. She does those really funny impressions. An impression of like a YouTube thinkfluencer. And it was like the guys that are like, get up at 4. There's a lot of them. Those like minimalism.
So there's a crossbreed of people who are like, and I mean, obviously because people like that maybe need these kind of words to remind them like, it's okay when you fail. Like life isn't about being successful. But I know that there are people out there who, I just don't know if it's like cringy like Alan Watts, but I actually, if you listen to him, it's not at all.
I know that. Whenever I hear you listening to it, I'm like, this sounds like profane.
Oh, it is. It is. But you know when he's like the person that people will talk about.
I see.
Where
I
people
see.
Are like, oh my God, I love Alan Watts. And then I'm like, but I actually do. Like I fully just listen to like hours and hours of lectures from him.
Yeah, like whatever makes you feel that type of spiritual pull. For me, it's a TikTok to somebody that I used to know. To you, it's Alan Watts. Like I think those things are important that you shouldn't like.
No, true. Yeah. So anyway, that was just me.
But
like,
I get it. Thinkfluencers on YouTube are like really.
But anyway, something that he said the other day, because I often have this trouble of like knowing what is my purpose in life, like what do I want in life? And then something that he said was just like, if you don't know what you want in life, it either means that you already have it or you don't know yourself. And then I was like, okay, well, which one of these is it for me? But then he goes into like this really beautiful explanation about how not knowing, we go through parts of life like where not knowing can be stressful, but ultimately the end of, not end of life, but the ultimate kind of like enlightenment is to not know and to be like, I don't know. And he compares not knowing, the feeling of not knowing, to the feeling of love, to the feeling of like these like beautiful things that if you can accept that you don't know. And like that, it just reminded me of that infographic where you're just like, it's so overwhelming to see we're such small specks of dust.
But then we'll never know.
Yeah. And it's just like, you can't, and it's okay. And that's like the beautiful thing. And then I was thinking about today while I was meditating. I was just like that. Yeah. How boring would life be to know if you knew everything?
Oh my God. And what an insufferable person to be around.
And that's why science is so cool, because like it's the process of learning, but it is like once you know, it's no longer that interesting.
That is so okay. Now I'm like, should we like can this episode and call it? Like, I guess I am like, okay, this is about the human body's flaws, but we are just showing you how fascinated humans actually are with being able to think about these things.
Well, why don't we do a podcast on it?
Yeah, okay. So we should move on. So I shouldn't like go into what I was gonna say. Like, let's do a podcast about
what is it called?
Like, honestly, I would do a podcast called Alan Watts.
Oh yeah, me too.
Because I think that if you're saying what you are saying, which is that he is sort of famous enough, maybe in specific groups of people even, or he's like the basic way of saying that you're into those things.
He's like the white guy that brought Eastern philosophy to the West.
That's like really interesting, and I'd love to do an episode on that. Let's get into it whatever this week, just because we are supposed to be talking about how messed up our physiology is.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, so I'm going to read a quote that I'm just like, damn it, this is just going to get us going back into philosophy. Okay.
Mine too, actually. Oh, God. Fully unintentionally.
Should we change it? You might, no. You might see this. No. We are not.
We're going to get to the
know what hurts? My ankle. Okay. Know what I get? Goat. Okay. We're busted. Okay. So subjectivity as a term is about engaging with the world as a self and having things seem a certain way to you. Mm-hmm. So we are subjective beings that, you know, I just think that's just like an interesting thing to learn. Plants have less of a you. In some ways, a plant is a they of stems and shoots with signaling running between them. But that is a simplification too. A plant is partly a community and partly an individual. And I was like, that is so interesting to me. So apart from the subjectivity of like everything, which I think is always interesting, it's like, what the hell are my eyes doing? And why am I thinking that I'm real? What's happening? But it's like, we are designed through our brains to be an individual looking at the world. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, plants and these other, like, are innately communities. Mm-hmm. I'm like, imagine how, this is just a classic, maybe like, analogy that authors would do, how beautiful it would be if we could tap into the biology of like the plant concept of being a community. It's like, yeah, we'd get vaccines out to everyone equally faster. Like, there's just something, I'm like, everything
like
about our lives.
Understanding that your success and thrivefulness, is that a word? Like, depends on the well-being of the community.
Yeah, but I think what it made me think was like, we, from a biological perspective, are individualistic. Mm-hmm. And that the pains of the world, I just am like, it's too much to say they're all related, but so much feels like it's related to that human individualist brain. Like, I'm just like, it's just like one of those things. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but mm-hmm. I'm like, the more I can maybe understand that, the more I can maybe be even empathetic to
it.
Yeah,
of course, there's probably an evolutionary advantage to have traits like that, but then there's obviously sometimes like disadvantages in other situations, like trying to get a vaccine to everyone.
Yeah. Anyways, I just thought that was a cool quote.
No, what was it from?
Metazoa.
A book. I
do that thing where I like, every time I like something, I underline it, put the corner, and then after I've read a book, I come back to it and I get to reread all my underlines.
Oh, that's nice.
And then, you know what
Except
I mean? It's
like, hate when Greg draws in books. Not draws.
But wait, I love it.
But now I'm starting. No, I think it's beautiful. I think it's nice.
But do you? Because I'd like, whenever you get mad, I'm like, but I think it's so nice.
I think it's really nice. Okay. I'm not trying to like drag you. I'm just saying, because I'm so much more of a neurotic person, to me, there's something pure about a book not having like scribbles in it.
Yes. Oh my God. That is so a metaphor for our personalities. I'm so the opposite. The other day we were trying to make a form of art together for our work. And the way I make things is I like vomit things out and then I edit it back. Or like if I'm painting, like I really have the most success if I just like go for it. And then like there are ways that you kind of strip mm-hmm. things back, or like you can go over with a bigger brush to like make a bunch of small things become like one brush stroke.
Yes.
Whereas you are really like reserved, like mm-hmm. you come at things, you think really deeply about every decision. And then I think it's when those things come together that like we are a good team.
Kabalow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just like, I just really sometimes it's cool to see other people's process. I'm like, I'm so different and there's flaws with mine too. Sometimes I'm like, this is a muddy, bad painting. It's a mess.
In tandem with your quote, I would say you ought to listen to Alan Watts. I know you do sometimes because I tell you.
Alan Watts episode.
This is the Alan Watts episode, because so much of what he says is about realizing that we are not like, and this is Buddhist philosophy. Like there is no such thing as you.
Yeah.
Like you think you are this physical body.
Yeah.
But your body is literally not the same cells as it was 10 years ago, even like 5 years ago. You think you are your personality, but your personality changes. You think you are your emotions. Like all these things change. And it's this realization that there is no you and that you are not different from other people.
Yeah. So that's like kind of a biological basis of that. Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading this book called Clean right now that has this idea that like skin, we believe, protects us from the outside. But now we're realizing like it's covered in these microorganisms that are working with our body that interact with our environment, and that humans are interconnected to their environment so distinctly that you are actually not.
Oh my God, that's cool. It's like even the virus, like the coronavirus is an example of nature like coming into you. Mm-hmm. Like you can't think of yourself as like this like
distinct identity. Yeah.
So that's why it's good to mark up a book, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you win. So on the same train, what'd you learn? This week I learned about LSD. And so, oh, you're getting water? Yeah. Okay. Greg's grabbing water. Oh, my God. No, okay. Sorry. Basically, they did a really cool study about LSD, and I am too scared to take psychedelics, but I do really love and enjoy learning about them. But I am going to admit reading this study was actually kind of difficult, and I'm going to try to describe it. No, okay. It was just like a complicated explanation of what happened. No, not difficult in like a hard way, just in like a complex way. So basically, this study came to the conclusion that LSD frees your brain from divisions dictated by anatomy. It's like a weird thing to say, but there's a really good quote that kind of, you know, the phrase like neurons that fire together, wire together.
Yeah.
So this idea that there's like links physically in certain kinds of the brain that like the stronger those connections are together, like anatomically, they kind of become interlinked as well as like conceptually.
Yeah, sure. It's crazy. Like your brains are just nerve cells controlled through axons and action potentials and ions. I know those sound like really weird words, but like there are biological bases to those words that explain that it's just biological electricity creating everything. And so there will be patterns in
and
the
patterns
way you use it that become reinforced.
Which is why like things like addiction can be so much more than substance. It can be a full rewiring of your brain that has to be undone.
It's a physiological disease. You know what I mean? That's a good thing for people to understand to try and be empathize. Celine Dion.
So in this study, they were like taking fMRIs of people's brains when they were on a placebo pill versus when they were on LSD. And basically, okay, they realized that the brain has these two different modes. It integrates all the information, right? Like we're constantly taking in millions of pieces of data from our environment, from speech, from thought. But then afterwards, it segregates that back into like, so your brain can know like, these are my smells that are coming in. And this is like what my eyes are seeing. And this is like the environment that I'm in. So you have to take it all in and then it gets segregated into distinct ways for you to understand it. But what they believe in this study was finding is that LSD breaks down that barrier.
Hmm.
So it integrates, but then it doesn't segregate. So it's like it's part of the reason why the like ego dissolution happens, because you no longer can like differentiate between the different senses in the same way.
That sounds like Alan Watts.
Exactly. That's why I was like,
that's the awesome thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like that kind of describes.
No, I actually, it made sense to me. It did.
So I'm just trying to read what I wrote here. Like your capacity to integrate and amalgamate separate streams of information into a unified whole becomes diminished.
Yeah. No, I think that that's something that like is really important information. Same with mushrooms, like the psilocybin famous charts that I actually did a TikTok about, and I've seen other ones go viral. It's just a study where they show the brain connections in like a specific way that an algorithm has laid it out for you visually. And you see that psychedelics make your brain neurons that don't usually fire, and it creates what could potentially be the positive benefits of all of these psychedelics, which also, write that down, Alan Watts episode after that, psychedelics, like we have to do a podcast about
he has a whole lecture on it. I found it so fascinating. Okay, one on LSD or just psychedelics?
Or we could do mushrooms, because then I can get involved, because I'm currently microdosing mushrooms, and I love mushrooms. Honestly, like, we should do a podcast about them, because I would love like to talk about them, because I'm not that like experienced with them, but I've taken pretty like low amounts of it, but it has been really helpful for me in this pandemic. And then I'm like, is it illegal? Am I gonna get in trouble for saying that? But like, well, no, I don't think so. I think if someone comes and like a police come to my door, I'm gonna hold up a couple studies and be like, hun, I'm actually learning to help the universe. Turn around, a cab buddy, out the house. Okay.
Oh my gosh. So that's basically it. I think it's really interesting. Obviously, there's so much fascinating research into LSD and psychedelics. So let's say we'll do an episode on that.
Today's episode is sponsored by Skillshare, truly one of the most useful resources I turn to. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers classes on a wide range of topics, which has been so helpful in Quar for us. I've taken a lot of their classes, from like Photoshop to After Effects. Right now, I'm actually going through a course on Ableton Live by Brian Jackson, which is a music editing program. And it's been such a lifeline for me, because I only recently changed over to Ableton and was completely lost his all hell before this class, and so it's kind of given me the tools to transfer my knowledge into a new program and excel at it. And I'm excited to put that to good use on some ASAP Science songs or some of my personal music, so TBD, or to come out at some point in the hopefully 2021. But no matter what 2021 brings, you can spend it creating something meaningful with Skillshare's online classes. Just go to skillshare.com/sidenote and get a free trial of the premium membership. Not only is it super affordable, especially compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops, there are so many classes to explore and skills that you can learn to keep pushing forward your creative projects. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month, but if you go to skillshare.com/sidenote, again, you'll get a free trial of premium membership. It also really helps our show when you give our sponsors some love, so we appreciate you guys checking them out. It means a lot to us.
So I am obsessed with cereal. I have it when I wake up, and then I always have it kind of as like a dessert after dinner. And one of the issues with that might be the dessert word, because a lot of cereals are full of sugar and different sort of hidden things in it that don't make them as healthy as you might think. And that's why I love today's sponsor, which is Magic Spoon, which is a cereal with zero sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. It's keto friendly, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free, all those things that I get to consume this and not feel as bad. So go to magicspoon.com/sidenote to grab a variety pack and try it today, and be sure to use our promo code SIDENOTE at checkout to save $5 off your order. The variety pack has 4 flavors. It's cocoa, fruity like me, frosted, I guess that's kind of like me too, and peanut butter. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/sidenote and use the code SIDENOTE to save $5 off. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Okay, so now we're getting into the real sack of meat and potatoes of our bodies.
The body. My biggest nemesis.
Why is it? What do you like? Oh my God, Mitch, I know. I'm like,
Spit it out, bro.
I get ailments. I am broken physically a lot. Like, I get, you know, the ankle.
Wow, can't
stops
even name
working,
one thing. Okay, it's like,
the oh, yeah, gout. I have like, oh my God, I go blind in one eye, then I get migraines and puke because my body thinks it's dying. Like, I do have these ailments, but in quarantine, I think I've had, strep throat. Strep throat every 2 months even. Just popping penicillin, thank goodness. I would be so dead without antibiotics. You put me back in 1600s, gone. Boom. So I do get them, but your relationship is just constant.
More and more thinking psychosomatic, part of my anxiety, part of like, I definitely just have always had weird quirks, and they're not always big things. Some of them are. So I have like some major back problems that have occurred that I've like gone to like physical therapy for.
But then now you're reading some book where you're like, is it? It's not.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that.
Okay, in my
sort of like study session.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely like. There's always some ailment going on with my body. So I have a very strange relationship to this vessel because it feels like it fails me a little.
Oh my God.
And if it's not the body, it's the brain, girl, you know? And the brain doesn't shut up and the brain's making me think it's failing me. And that's a failure in and of itself. So, I mean, that's why I listen to Alan Watts, because I'm like, well, there must be a reason. I'm just an experience of the universe, and it's a really unique experience, and I'm an expression of what.
But you do sprain thine ankle.
I sprained
which
thine ankle.
Which is like purple. It's not psychosomatic. And if it is psychosomatic, you have a powerful brain.
No. I definitely have like a weak ankle.
If I run now, it's so bad. Although I'm like, was it just dance? Like, but my Achilles tendon just like really like hurts so much after I run now enough that like then I have to put it into recovery for 3 weeks and I'm like, oh, I'm better. Then I run for a week and then all of a sudden I'm like, so now do I just not run?
So I think it's time for us to also realize that part of this is just we're old.
Like, yeah, I'm like,
I don't know, we're not that old, but we certainly are at the age of aging.
Yeah, it's such a like thing that you say. You'll be like, my ankles hurt, and then like, yeah, your parents will be like, oh, well, it starts at 30. Know what I find? People in their 40s always say this. They go, it starts at 30.
Yeah,
it's actually like people at my parents' age are like, no, we've figured this out. Like, it's like there's something about when you're 40 where you're just like, maybe this time is like when you start to notice the body is truly falling apart.
That makes me so sad. But mine has been falling apart my whole life. So maybe I'll be more like able to cope.
Wait, really? I feel like you seemed so healthy when I met you. You weren't getting sick.
The back problem I have was in university is when it started.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, it's from stress.
Mine was profusely sweating at night. That kind of
went away. Oh, yeah. That was disturbing.
Was that because I was just drinking too much?
Probably. But that's another example. I've always had really bad hangovers. And I feel like I kind of thrive a little more now because I just like, I'm so used to having hangovers.
You've like dealt with the... Okay. So that's also a flaw. If we're going to talk about flaws in the body, like actually, yeah.
Let us enjoy life. Yeah. Jesus.
Evolution's like, you just started drinking not that long ago. We haven't been able to figure out how to fix this one. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, that's true. Like we've poisoned it. But so yeah.
Where shall we begin?
Like, I think... Okay. So my study is about our feet because that's where I get the most of my issues now. So whether there's a gout in my foot, yeah, hello everyone, I am coming forth to try and take down the stigma of gout and just be honest and open with it's okay.
Didn't you tell me there's like a movement of millennials to be like, gout is normal? Okay,
maybe this is a little confirmation bias as the person who is saying that, because you know I'm maybe one of the few millennials who've Googled 30 gout ? But when I Google that, there are people who have my back.
But, have you joined any support group?
No, but whenever I do get it, support there's groups. Definitely like some Googling that's some support. That truly, I think I write gout support, enter. But that's related to my feet, because the times I've gotten it is swelling in my feet, but that actually has nothing to do with the type of pain like from my Achilles tendon and that I'm going to be talking about today.
Okay.
But our feet, okay, are an evolutionary mess, because we, not that long ago, climbed down from trees to start living our bipedal lives on land from the evolution of like Earth and life on Earth, like very recently. So our feet, not that long ago, have been mostly designed to be in trees holding branches. And when I found this out, it was one of those moments of just like science research that I just love, because it shocks your worldview. Like it just shocks your...
You're like, these feet are not well made.
They are not well made. Like you do not need 26 bones in your feet unless you're actually using it to pick up a fork and eat your dinner. Like it's like, we don't need to run from predators anymore. We do not need to hunt our food anymore. We press buttons, it gets delivered to us. Our feet are just this like caught in this really shitty time of having left the trees and not had enough time to become sort of something that we would look to as the more idealized version.
And so what, we suffer more feet problems than maybe we need to because it's not been designed for our lives.
Oh my God, yes. Like 100%. Like it's, and then that's like something that I really can relate to in my life in my 30s. I'm like, I'm always looking at my feet. Like that's where the pain is. Like, I don't know about you. Like, have you had foot pain?
Other than like the fact that I do sprain my ankle, like not so often, but I've had that happen and like to a severe.
But no toe pain?
Yeah, I've never had any like foot pain, to be honest.
Oh my God, another thing I got that I don't is not fully related, but kind of is when I tell you what the ideal version of our legs would be, but I get ingrown toenails.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's also like toenails.
I feel like maybe growing up I'd done them, but I always thought it was just like, what, you need to cut your toenails more often.
Okay, I got the worst one in university and it threw me off because I was like young and was like, why is my toe doing that? Like I didn't even know. It's so gross. And then it was like, what? This is actually a little tip and trick. What happens is like, it just happens sometimes that the nail does not grow just properly forward. So they froze my foot and they had to cut open my foot to go in and cut the nail out.
Wait, did I know you then? Why don't I remember? I have no memory. My brain doesn't work. Right?
My God. Also,
that's another ailment. My brain like doesn't remember things.
No, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I knew you, but I can't know for sure because it was a long time ago. But then they said, what you need to do from now on, I've done it ever since, never gotten an ingrown toenail since that time because I just got them all the time. You cut a little V in the middle of your, I've only got them in my big toe. So my big toe. And it
folds. What's a V mean?
Like literally, if you have your flat edge of your toe, I'm like, I hope people
of
like
the toenail.
Some people are grossed out. The foot fetish people are like, tell me more. yeah, you know, there's the flat toenail that reaches out towards the universe in front of you.
Yes.
You cut a little, like I would think a V shape. You'd like just like go on each corner of the things of the clipper. So you go tick, tick, so that now it looks like a little indent of a V across the flat plane of the nail.
What? Like an upside down V? Like, is your toenail now pointing like an arrow, or
no,
is it inverted?
No, opposite. Sorry, it's inverted.
So the middle part of the toenail is actually the closest clipped to your skin.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 Okay. That makes sense. That's a way of saying it. But yeah. Okay.
That's how you cut your toenails.
Okay. Okay. Because you leave the little, and I just keep saying V, but maybe it's wrong. It's like you make the indent. What? Like more the, but it's small. It's not like the whole thing is like a gradual weird like you.
Like devil
it's
horns.
Just a little. Yeah. It's just a little. And what it forces, they said it forces your nail to grow towards that, and it pulls out so that your nail doesn't grow into the sides of your toe.
Okay. That's cool.
I mean, I don't know if that's like, that was just what this university like doctor
Well, I
said.
Have been told that people often cut their toenails rounded, but you probably shouldn't because that's when it gives the opportunity for the ingrown part to go into the skin.
Interesting.
Whereas if you actually cut it flat, it leaves it far enough forward that it will
but
grow
the,
forward.
But the actual design of the toe clipper is rounded.
I know, and I feel like my fingernails when looking at them, but I guess I bite them that way. I guess if you just like let your fingernails grow, they'd be flat. For surfaces.
Yeah.
Do we need fingernails?
Yeah. That, I'm like now we're going back to being in the trees. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? They were not clipping their nails. They were like
they're
running and hunting and they were like, yeah, literally like maybe
they didn't
them.
Bite them though. Right? Because yeah. Like a lot of people have an instinct to bite their
but
nails.
One thing that makes me think about this, and we're getting the evolutionary
this podcast has chaotic energy.
But yeah, it really does. But that makes me think, would they have bit their nails? Because is that like not maybe would have made them more sick?
To like what, like licking like, the viruses?
Actually,
and bacteria.
I don't know. You're right. I want to know if hunter-gatherers chewed their nails or if just the sheer life at the time involving cave drawing and just like, right. You know what I mean? We're
like wearing it
you
down.
Would never have too long a nail because they would have broken because of all the like more textile things we were doing with our hands and our feet.
I can't be sure. But
no, I wasn't expecting you to know the answer. I'm just like, that's thoughts that evolutionary biologists would think about.
So back to your toes and your...
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Feet.
It is related. Like, they think, evolutionary biologists think, and there's a lot of science as to why our bipedal designed body should have the ostrich ankle and foot, which Ooh. Looks like an ostrich leg fully, but
so just like a fat bird leg.
Yeah, so two toes with two bones per toe, not our 26 chaotic energy like this podcast, that link up to this ankle that like is actually almost looks like it's on the foot that then go up to this joint that then comes to, into their thighs, and that would be the best design for us. And it makes sense for one specific tangible reason I think about, which is that birds have been bipedal for 250 million years, and we've only been bipedal for 5 million years.
That is wild.
So birds are just so freaking well evolved.
Are there animals that walk bipedally?
No.
No?
Not like... No, the only animals that are truly bipedal on Earth are birds and humans.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because like, I mean, there's like, it's like Ernie is like, okay.
Well, he's on all fours.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm just trying to name things that aren't bipedal. If you start thinking about it, they're all not, except for those two. But then you do have things like chimps and apes, but they
like
actually
they could
aren't.
Stand, but they primarily like are, yeah.
Yeah. And they're actually using their hands in different, like truly bipedal, like are, birds and humans. So obviously we look to birds because they've been around for 200, their ancestors have
That's
been here
amazing.
For 50 million years. That is the actually better designed foot for us.
To walk on 2 feet.
Yeah. Like it's like we have a foot for gripping. We have obviously for walking. Again, I don't want to disparage our bodies. It's like brilliant. And evolution doesn't work in the way that you got to like choose. Evolution does not create perfection. It molds previous structures to produce anatomies just good enough to survive.
Yeah. That's ain't that the truth? Well, am I just good enough to survive? I don't know. I have two embarrassing things. One, I don't know the difference between an ostrich and an emu. Is it location? Do you know?
No, I don't.
I want to look that up. And number two, I
that's
just...
not that embarrassing. I love that. You're like this horrible embarrassing. I'm like, no, that's totally fair.
I guess it's not that difference. I need to look this
what
up.
What was your different. Other one?
Definitely foot problem. I stub my toe so frequently, I think something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Well, we've already established something's wrong with me, but it's
what,
like
you don't have spatial awareness of thine
it
feet?
It must be, because I will literally kick it into a wall and be like, how did I even, like sometimes it makes sense when you're like, that thing was hit and I didn't see it. Or like sometimes bed frames like are disguised because like the sheet comes out in a weird
way. Or you're like when you get to a new Airbnb and you're just like, you just feel like you're clunking around a bit. You're like, well, but I didn't know about the show.
Sometimes I'm just like doing the same thing I do every day and I just like kick the banister. And
that is,
it hurts so
wait,
much.
Wait, I'm like, should I be hearing you scream? Like how much do you think is a lot? Because I'm like, are you just doing this all the time? And I'm not realizing. Like you're always
because it's weirdly, when I stub my toe, when I get hurt other ways, I definitely go like, ow! But when I stub my toe, I go, ow! It's like so internal.
You're great.
At first, it's like, oh, shit.
Like, so like I'm not hearing because I'm always listening to podcasts, so I always have headphones on. That like I can just picture you behind me in life all the time going, oof. Like, it's just bashing your feet around.
So I have a problem with that. So feet bother me because of that.
You'd probably have less bashing and, you know, just a more interesting foot if you had your ostrich foot. But okay, did you figure out about ostriches or emus?
They're both members of the Ratite group of large flightless birds that are scattered through the hemisphere. Including Africa, the ostriches range, and Australia, the emus range.
Okay.
So I think they're not the same.
Yeah.
But they're similar kinds of creatures that maybe have different geographies.
Would be curious if it was convergent evolution if it was.
They're so cool.
Okay. Convergent evolution is also the explanation for why we are bipedal, but like, us and birds, we are doing it because of convergent evolution. It's two processes that got to like a similar physiological place because of the way that like
the environment has, it's an advantage for us eyeballs do that too. Like eyeballs don't all come from the same ancestor. It's like they developed separately.
And know what's crazy is like it's physics. It's like the physics of like energy.
But then it is crazy that like we're the only ones, you know.
And birds.
No, I mean like us and birds.
No, oh, that's true. That is true. Know what I thought too?
It's like why aren't the dogs walking?
I know. And I was like, they might know something that we don't. Like, I'm just like, there's something funny too. Like, I don't know if this is just a dumb observation that I have, but I'm like, is it kind of gay to walk on 2 feet?
What?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like other animals, there's just like, it's just like when I think of it, like a straight guy on 2 feet, I'm like, that's kind of gay. Like, it's just like, it's gay. Yeah, it's like gay. I just wanted to say it to a straight guy. Like I just wanted to be like, you know, the biology of our human bodies is kind of gay, and just like see if they would be like, you're dumb. But I am like, there's something dainty about being like, I need my hands to pick up my tea.
Yeah, but then it's like every dinosaur is like also just gay. Not everyone, I guess. Not all.
No,
But like
actually,
the T-Rex, Velociraptors are definitely gay. They got little toe that taps. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Bipedal's gay. Bipedal is gay. It is. I think it. Or it's. Or you know what?
Bipedal's bi.
Yeah, bipedal's bi. Bipedal's bi. Holy shit, I can't believe I did not realize that.
I was going to say, it's interesting to think that in some ways people might argue that birds are some of the other smartest quote-unquote creatures on this planet. Like, birds are so clever. They're another animal that can often like imitate speech.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They're often like able to memorize things. Like obviously, yes, we've tested like octopus are smart, dogs are obviously clever. Like but I just feel like
My god, I'm like, we can get back to Alan Watts if we talk about consciousness. What does smart mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know what that's
I mean?
Why I said
like,
quote,
that's so interesting.
But birds, people often say, are some of the smartest creatures on this planet.
But who says that?
I don't know.
No, oh no, I didn't
Someone
know if it
told
was like
it to me.
Okay, no, it's true. I'm
like
grade
9 teacher. I don't know.
I'm like, I think that too, but then I'm like, how do I place, like, am I just, I've learned to love birds this year, so I say it, but then I'm like, why? I'm saying it because I love them.
Okay, episode on birds.
There you go, Brennan. Oh my god.
Someone's got to write this down. Yeah, we need someone.
Yeah. Oh my god, okay. We'll re-listen to it when we edit it, and then we'll add them all in.
I cannot re-listen to our own podcast.
Actually, that's true. I just find the right places. When I hear my own voice, I'm like, well, I'm going to go puke now.
Okay, so are you done with feet? Can I talk about my thing?
Yes.
So I wanted to talk about the back because my biggest problem has always been that I have back pain. Now, I will say most people have lower back pain. That's like the most common kind of back pain. For me, I have this really weird thing in like my mid back shoulder that just like spasms for no apparent reason.
I don't know. And I
so spasms?
Like, I'll just be sitting doing nothing and suddenly it's like it spasms like crazy. It's the most painful thing you can imagine. I mean, I am also really weak, so that's like give or take that reference point.
But and you do get massages all the time, so you do have like someone pressing in your back a lot. So like it's not like you don't know what it feels like. Like you have
people really
go ham on your back and it hurts way more than that.
Yeah. It's like debilitating. Like, and it used to knock me out for about a week. I would be like laying down most of the day.
Okay, one thing you do sometimes, and I'm curious about this, it's like you'll be like, it's coming. Like sometimes you're like, my back,
yeah, I can feel a buildup of like knot in my back, and it's always the same spot for me. And then sometimes it just like tips the scale and it starts spasming.
Oh my God.
So I can feel like what I feel after it spasms, like 3 days later, is that same feeling. It's like still kind of there, whatever. So I wanted to talk a little bit about back pain because a lot of people have it. I feel like a lot of people go, right? We're going to talk about also something else that's a very controversial, and that is chiropractors. I'm coming for the chiropractors.
Oh my God, it's going to be a tear down. Look out, Dr. Oz. I know you're not a chiropractor, but we write it down. We're going to do an episode about you and how you suck. Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Do you have friends or people in your life who you bought, like, with migraines, for me, I go, oh, you're migraine. Like, I can see my migraine sufferers. I know who you are of my friends, people I know. And it becomes a topic of conversation because you're like, oh, yeah, the glow. You talk about your coping mechanisms. I have some insane ones. Mm-hmm. We'll do an episode on migraines. You might find out some secrets about me. So, do you have your friends who are the people who get this, who you're like, you've got the back pain thing?
There's two segments. There's a few friends that I know specifically have back pain. Nothing the same. It's not like mine, but they have their own versions of back pain. And then I have just the other friends who are also just like neurotically in pain all the time. Like there's always something going on. Yeah, you're like, why is my eye twitching for 3 weeks? You know, why does my ankle suddenly hurt in my knee? I can't run anywhere. Like those kind of things. Like I am that kind of person, and I have those friends too, who I know I don't have to be having the same ailment, but we get like, we always have some kind of ailment.
Oh my God. Okay. True.
So back pain. Worldwide back pain is the leading cause of disability.
Interesting. Wow.
Isn't that wild? In America, I think it's like the second cause.
It kind of sounded like you were a chiropractor advertising chiropractor. The way you said that, you're like, and
actually,
bye,
some
you
of
know.
These facts I think came from like a chiropractor like fact sheet, but that's okay.
Uh-oh.
But I was fact checking them, and they were just stats and numbers. So experts estimate that 80% of population will experience back pain at some time. So get ready if you haven't had it. Okay,
I know.
Get ready.
I'm always like, when I look at you, I'm just like, it's coming for me, but when?
We're still young. You're going to get it. U.S. spends $90 billion a year on back pain, and that doesn't count the amount of money that's lost by non-productivity, so not being at work.
So is that the do you buy meds, or
I think
do
it's
you
probably the
car?
Cost of like insurance to like get I don't actually know. $90 billion, it's just like you probably for medicine, probably for like
I'm curious if it would include like the fact that you pay for a masseuse to like when you're
like the medical system
month,
I would imagine like having back injuries just leads to like certain kind of costs on the medical systems and like drugs and doctor's attention and all these things that, like. Anyway, so I was really curious because I have always heard that there's this kind of like pseudoscience around chiropractic, and I know there might be people out there that come for me. So I'm mostly just going to focus on one aspect because I know the field of chiropractors is like kind of broad. I will say, though, it is kind of founded on really kooky ideas. Is that like a weird problematic word? I'm like, where did that word come from?
We'll look that up, either edit it out or we'll just cancel you.
I'm like, oh, kooky, but that's what I thought kooky means, because like I think chiropractors used to believe that they could heal almost anything. Like if you had cancer, we can like compress your body and like do weird things and it will be healed. So a lot of chiropractic now have moved away from that to be like, no, we just believe we're like readjusting the spine and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm going to look into.
I thought you were going to be like, and it's all came from Mormonism.
No, it's just like come from the kind of a weird science that's not considered science or medicine.
And chiropractors have Mormon energy to me in my brain.
Yeah.
They're like the same. They're like blue, white, beige, sketchy white people. Like, that's just like what if it, no offense to chiropractors, no offense to chiropractors.
I know. So spinal manipulation is one of the like popular things. That's what you think of, like when they like crack your neck,
they
push on your back and you hear the pop. And so that's just to move your joints beyond their range of motion, which is often accompanied with a pop or crack. And I think the belief is that this releases pain. It, you know, because sometimes increasing your range of motion is supposed to be a good thing.
Anyway,
imagine you went to like, I'm okay. I know four-year degree. It's chiropractors. We are not, but I'm just like, imagine you got there and you had to open your notebook and they're like, so there's two things we're looking for, pops and cracks. So if you hear a pop, that's actually good. This. And if you hear a crack, and it's all based on just the noise. Cause I'm like, you just read that. You're like, you know, it's been a pop and a crack. Like that is not seem right.
Snap, crackle, pop. Were they chiropractors?
They were gay. That's for sure.
They were certainly gay. Have you ever gotten to a chiropractor?
No, I don't. I don't have the back pain. So I'm like, this is all information to me. But if I did a back pain, I think I definitely would have gone to a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. I'm like so open and interested and I'm just like, ooh, cool. But because I haven't had that like thing that's pushed me over the edge to like, you know, I find it hard to even go to the doctor and it's free here in Canada. You know what I mean? Like I would totally go. If I needed to, but I've never gone because I haven't felt.
I did go. Do you remember I told you about this? It was the worst experience of my life.
And now so I will bring them all down in my study time.
I'm taking this industry down because, no, this was like one particular not great person who was recommended to me. And I'm really not comfortable with my neck being cracked. Like just in general, I've always had like weird sensitivity around my neck being broken. And even just like cracking knuckles, like I don't really like that. Like it makes me feel weird. I don't mind other people doing it, but I've always been like, I don't love the idea of cracking my bones. So I went because I was, you know, having so many back problems. And we did some x-rays, all these things. They evaluated me in a bunch of ways and gave me certain exercises and stuff or just like movements to practice. But then he was going to do the spinal adjustments. And I was like, I am really nervous. And if it's all right, I don't really want to crack my neck because they kind of like, and I was like, it just freaks me out.
Yeah,
I don't
no.
mind. Like sometimes they bend your body over and go like, and I was like, okay, you can do that, but please don't do the neck.
I love how you're like adding to, and also you were looking for cracks, pops, and
that's, no, when you see them do it. So like, so he's like, okay, yeah, no worries. So then like they literally like fold your body in half and then it's like a man who weighs like 180 pounds who's like putting his whole, like they go like,
wait,
and push you down.
I'm horny.
He was actually attractive. But in that moment, you feel like your body get crushed.
This is not for you, Mitch. I can already tell you. I'm like,
but I was
no
like,
okay, like
I am anything to heal this back pain. Fine. And then he was like, I really think we should crack your neck because X, Y, Z. And I was like, I don't know. And I have a really hard time saying no in situations. And in that moment, I was like, this is not good. And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, I think it'll really help.
Oh my God, this is so scary.
And he did it without my consent. I mean, I guess I was probably kind of like, I guess. I don't know. And
oh my God, that is
horrifying. The second
he
did it, I was like, I will never come back here. It
didn't. Had a stranger snap your neck.
Yes.
Unconsented.
Right. It was the most mortifying thing I have
no
ever.
No wonder
experienced.
You're coming for chiropractors today. You were potential. You were attempted murder.
Attempted murder. And actually, it's like there's a stat that's like one in every million people die from a neck.
That is like, okay. Is that the fact? Is that fact?
Yeah? Well, I didn't write that one down.
Okay, because I'm like, that's like, it has that energy. I'm like, I need to know. Like,
no, it was like
I know you sign your life away.
Yeah.
Like when you're going skydiving.
Obviously, it's very low. I'm not trying to insinuate that it's a problem. It's a very rare problem, but it is a problem nonetheless.
And you're not going to get any.
And so I'm going to tell you just a study I looked up for all you chiropractic professionals out there. There was a massive review done on whether or not it helps low back pain in particular, chronic low back pain and acute low back pain. Basically, the answer is it doesn't help. It could provide sometimes immediate relief, but no better than like taking like ibuprofen or Tylenol.
Wait, what?
And it is not as good as exercise. So people just moving their bodies more. Like now more and more, they're realizing back pain to be physical is actually a really scary experience, especially when you've had an injury. But to get back moving, I think, is what they think is one of the most important things.
Okay, that's fair. But you know what? That's a tough thing that a lot of these types of studies end up at for everything. It's like even exercise. Depression. It's like, yeah, you know, exercise. Like, it's just like exercise is so interesting. Back to hunter-gatherers, back to bipedal. Mm-hmm. Like, our bodies are broken right now because they're not doing being what we're used. Meant to do. We're stuck in this. It's like under-evolved mm-hmm. place. Like, it doesn't surprise me that exercise is more effective than chiropractors, but what I'm saying is exercise is really hard for a lot of people. And then you know what I mean? So it can sometimes feel like an annoying, because even depression,
yes,
it's like, it is true though for so many things.
Yeah. Like, but even if you're not going to do exercise, there's like other therapies that they were saying are like massaging is like equally as effective as at temporarily removing your pain. Hmm. So that was the idea, was it kind of
like, what they even suggested to me is that these spinal manipulations over time will, like, change your spine. But it doesn't. It's just like, you know what cracking is? Just like, you know, the air, that like the air bubbles that are like being released from the
fluid. I guess it's like fully makes sense that you're not going back to chiropractor, because even your research is making you know that like you have other ways that you can mitigate your back pain that doesn't involve someone, you know, potentially cracking your neck. Yes. When you don't.
And there, another big review was done on acute pain. So if you just started having a hurt back and went versus like, say, someone who has had back pain for like every day.
Oh my God. Like if I went to a chiropractor, would they be like, no, you don't need this? Or they'd be like, yeah, let's just crack your back for shit.
Of course they would. Yeah, of course. It's no better than placebo for acute pain.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you did kind of just drag chiropractors. Well, all like I pretty
in spinal manipulation. I'm not saying there aren't chiropractors out there that have a more holistic view of the body and might like talk about, like, in that same way. I remember they kind of gave me suggestions for like when I'm sitting at my desk, kind of like stretches and stuff that I can do to.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
It wasn't just about that. So that's why I don't want to fully take down the industry, but I'm here for it.
But look out, Mitch Moffitt's, you know, he's doing his research and your teardown might come soon.
I will say one last thing, which is like a little ramble. So I am reading a book called Healing Back Pain. That's like somewhat controversial. It's like maybe the most famous back physiologist named John Sarno who wrote this book. In I think like the 70s or 80s is when this book was written, so it's a long time ago. And even to this day, doctors like aren't entirely convinced of his theories, because he believes, and he's worked with hundreds of his patients.
This sounds so weird. Okay,
a lot of back pain, and in fact, a lot of chronic pains are not the result of physical problems; they're the result of like mental repression.
Okay.
Like, so either psychosomatic or somatic, like in this example of back pain, he might say it is actually the embodiment of your stress, and your body is distracting you from, you're not actually like acknowledging your emotional turmoil, and your body does a really good job at distracting you with pain. Because so many people have back pain, there's literally nothing wrong with them. A doctor looks at it, a chiropractor looks at it, all these people like take scans, whatever, there's nothing wrong with it.
This is so like, it's so interesting because we wanted to talk about why our bodies suck. And so I immediately went to a very physical evolutionary biology concept. But now I like that we're ending here, which is like, what might be the biggest challenge to our bodies is our brains' inability to adapt to this strong, quick shift in cultural lifestyles that we all now live. Like,
yeah, because back pain, I think, has grown like exponentially over the last few decades.
So that's okay. So I guess it's like our brains and mental health is so confusing because we can't define it with the same scientific process as easily as we can with like a disease that involves like a protein degradation problem where we can see the protein with like electron microscopy. And like mental health is so challenging that it doesn't surprise me that doctors can't verify this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't surprise me that this couldn't all be made up and not right, but it doesn't mean it's not helpful for something that we don't have answers. Like, or like mental psychosomatic issues. I can't imagine there's that much people know what to do about that.
Well, I mean, in this book, and I will say now, like I was reading a big review that was all about back pain, and it talked about him and how so many of his ideas have become mainstream.
Wow.
That doesn't mean that people fully like buy into his full theory, but like now chronic back pain is believed to be biopsychosocial. So it has the factors, like it can be biological, and you should never ignore the fact that you could have.
So doctors would maybe go through a bunch of processes to ignore, to make sure that it's not solely physical, and then be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And he was actually advocating for something that he did not know, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. Like at that time, even in his book, he's like, I don't want to make people think that they're like crazy, but you should go to therapy. Because even think of when we were growing up, like going to therapy meant you were like mentally unstable. Yeah. Like there's such a stigma that in the 70s, he was trying to be like, it might be your emotions. You're not crazy. It's just like, you should talk to someone about
that. We were all like, you know, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was new. They're like, that's crazy. Cuckoo's Nest, kooky. That's what it's from.
Okay, thank goodness.
It's a cuckoo clock.
Cuckoo.
Whoa. Without Google, people using our brain the way they were meant to be. No, who didn't have Google? Hunter gatherers.
is a cuckoo bird real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kookaburra. Is that what that is?
Okay. Now. Okay. Google that. LOL. We did so well. I figured out the etymology of kooky, but it's not enough.
A cuckoo.
Okay.
Oh, so cute. It's a family of birds.
common in European cuckoo. Oh, roadrunners are cuckoos.
Roadrunner.
We'll learn more about it. Okay, we'll do an episode on cuckoos.
Yeah, okay, write that down. We got an episode.
Ultimately, though, I'm not like advocating for this book, and I don't want to like dive into anything that's pseudoscience.
Has it helped you?
Well, like one thing he says is when you like finally address those things in your mind and acknowledge that the pain is maybe like almost like an emblematic problem of like stress in your life or poor sleep, I have realized that I'm like, oh my God, every time, the first time it's ever really happened to me is in university right before an exam. It was like the morning after studying late. Wow. I had it happen for the first time and it was really scary. And now I realize it's like often when I am like overstressed, overworked, undersleeping. What was your question?
My question was, has this book worked for you?
I think so. What he said though is sometimes when you acknowledge like that specific back pain, you have to kind of like believe it, you know, like put your mind to that and be like, I don't have a physical problem.
Wild, man.
Then he says what he sees in his patients so often is that they suddenly get a pain somewhere else.
Is that why you're saying? Because you say you have pain. Are you talking about how you think you have pain somewhere else?
Yeah, I do. I've been like, yeah, since I read that book, I've had a weird heart problem. Oh my God, like my chest is weirdly in pain, and it's
my God, Mitch, that's crazy.
And I'm like, this is anecdotal own experience, so I'm not trying to say like this is the answer, but it is interesting because if you think about it, physical pain is the best way to draw your attention from something. Like when my back goes out, all bets are off. I'm in bed. I'm not thinking about work anymore. I am not going to acknowledge like the emotional stress that I'm going through.
You know what? I love, not love, but actually sometimes.
I love this for you.
Sometimes. I love this for you. No, sometimes in the middle of my migraine, I am in so much pain that I'm like, oh, well, it's going to be great to die. Like, it's like so interesting. But when I'm not in pain, I'm like, I love that feeling. What a beautiful feeling. Like this realization that like, I'm in enough pain that like, this is not worth, like, this isn't like, I don't know. It's like a spiritual weird moment with my body that I hurt so much. And then also I have no FOMO. There's nothing I can do. Like right. I sometimes
you
get
know
the,
it's real. It's like, there's,
it's
not
like,
some
I
weird...
go into this room. I lock myself in there outside of quarantine. You know, I've had enough of locked myself in there, but there are times in my life where it's really beautiful to just like, right. I completely log off
time.
And I have like really deep creative thoughts and stuff. Cause your brain is in so much pain. You're conscious, but it's unbelievable. So it's just kind of interesting.
He talks about migraines as a potential, like, again, in his book, he's not saying you should always check out other conditions, but he's like, for a lot of his patients, they couldn't figure it out. And he has like this program where he works through them, like cognitive behavioral therapy. And his belief is that he's like healed hundreds of people over his career.
Wow. Well, what I'm saying is I can relate to that sort of, okay, all bets are off because I have back pain. And like, so maybe you're, like he's saying your body's almost doing that to distract you. That's so weird.
It is like, I weirdly like talk to myself sometimes when I'm like nervous about, or I have to like, that it's like part of what I do is literally I'm like,
wow.
Okay. Because I am also an anxious person. So if I feel a little bit of pain, suddenly I'm like, all my attention goes there. And then I'm like, what? That's weird. I don't usually feel like that. But am I feeling it only because I'm thinking about it now? And I like kind of spiral. So I have to kind of remind myself like, no, like you're just like, distracting yourself, like think about what's going on in your life.
Like, also, you're like working out more than you ever have, and like sometimes you'll be like, Craig, oh my God, my chest is like pulsating. Because, and I'm like, well, did you do pecs yesterday for like half an hour? You're like, yeah, well, I've newly been pushing all these pecs, but now both my titties are in so much pain.
Oh my God, I'm
just like, Mitch, you're like, sometimes you're really freaking out on muscles, and I'm not saying you're stupid, but I'm like, we're both like doing the same thing where we're working out a lot to try and like in our basement, and I'm like, yeah, I wake up next day and I'm in pain. I'm like, it's the work, like I'm just like, it hurts where I worked out. And then sometimes I'll ask you and you'll tell me, and I'm like, don't you think that, like, doesn't your brain
it
think that?
it is that partially, but
I'm jacked.
No, I guess it's like it has felt different, that's why.
Yeah.
And the back thing.
No,
is like
I'm not saying that's what this is. I'm just saying there have been times where sometimes I'm like, you worked out.
I think that definitely it inflames it. It's like, it's just an extra layer to like the mental part, and then actually having like any physical discomfort from working out layers on top. And then I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm able to discern between which parts are like from the physical workout.
I love this. I'm just like, I actually think it's fascinating. It's like, I really like love how this podcast was like, what's wrong with the human body? I just couldn't. It's the brain. Like, I just, the last thing I thought was the brain. I just kept thinking feet, you know, knees, like, right. like, you know, ostrich Intestines. Feet. And then it's just like, oh my God, maybe the brain is what's broken.
But, and wow. yet what is beautiful? But because exactly. sometimes what is broken
the most.
Is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. There's like a lot of like different art that's about that or something.
But okay. I mean, like, to go back to Alan Watts and Buddhism, to end this podcast on a way that we came in, you know, we all come out the same way we come in, go out the same way we come in. Like, meditation is in many ways, in many forms, not all, often a way to turn off your brain, to yeah. realize, you know,
yeah,
our
that's
brain
interesting.
Is evolved in this beautiful, genius way. But there's a byproduct.
It's too much. It's too much.
Well, it's like, it's kind of like everything good comes with a trade-off, yeah, right? Like, yeah. we're so smart. The trade-off is that we suffer from mental anguish. And so Buddhism and not Buddhism, but just like meditation is a chance to be like, let's just like stop those thoughts.
We literally what is wrong with our body is our brain, and meditation is turning off the brain. And it's like, even with why we're so smart, it's like why capitalism took over. Like, we created all these technologies mm-hmm. and we're like, we're so smart. It comes at a price and it's ruining the planet.
Yeah,
like, it's like we all need to turn our brains off. They're good. They're good, but they're also bad. Oh, love it. Okay. Well thank you so much.
At the end of the day,
they'll
be the ones that save us, you know, like they could, the bane. It's like all, what is it? What's the saying? All power comes with great.
Well, there's the brain that looked, that brain had a profound thought, then you saw it break.
All with great power comes great responsibility.
Oh, Spider-Man.
is that where that ended?
I'm sure Spider-Man was referencing something much deeper, but to me, that's Spider-Man.
It's true. It's like, you know, the brain can be beautiful and amazing, and we should just also acknowledge its limitations in how we get the best from it, but also don't destroy the planet. Hello, climate change. Okay.
That's the end. Okay. Thank you so much for
listening.
Hope you enjoyed. Hashtag Side Note Podcast. Leave comments on the YouTube videos. Read
I
them all.
I want to know what pain you suffer from physically, mentally. Like, let's have a little sesh. I will go into this video and I will comment back. Sometimes I'm afraid to do that, but I should do that more.
Oh my God.
I'm crazy.
I was about to be like, you know, okay, yeah. No, yeah. More, we'll write that down, another video about Mitch being afraid to have it on in the comments. Thank you so much. Peace.
See you next week.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.